aunt, great aunt is the one that runs the Scenic Fruit Company now, or some, they're somehow related. And so Dane calls up and says, you know, hey, can we come do a walkthrough and kind of tour the facility, and starts talking about how he used to work there when he was a kid and all this stuff. And the lady was like only half paying attention apparently. And she had all the paperwork filled out for Miles to get a job there. He thought what he was asking for is for my 5-year-old son to have a job at the cannery. Because she didn't hear what he was saying, and he was probably talking about his job at the cannery when he was a kid. And so when Miles got there, they were like, oh, yeah, we'll do a tour. That's fine. And they give him a hat, and it's too big for him. And but anyway, he's got his first job when he turns 14. He's going to be canning blueberries.
You're going to send him away for that?
Yep.
All right, cool.
Spend the summers with his grandparents and can some blueberries and come back with some money.
Sounds nice for you.
So long.
You have more things to push now, don't you?
I do. Oh, yeah, since you've been here last.
I've been sort of out. It, yeah.
It's tough.
Do you have it, like, dialed in? Are you good to go on or not?
No, God, no. And on one of our, so.
It's going to be like roulette.
On one of the last ones. I found that YouTube put a copyright claim on one of them, but it said that it was like, there is a copyright on this, but they allow the use of it on YouTube. So
cool.
So just a heads up.
Yeah, okay, cool. doesn't affect our playability or anything like that, but
the rhythm,
it's on there and it's okay.
That's great. I can't wait for you to be like, womp, womp, beep, 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 and it just be whatever.
There's so many in here. I don't know what half of them are. I haven't gone through and like saved.
Nah.
Like some to like build a core of what I want to use, because I haven't had the time to like search through it and find the things I really like.
I don't think you ever should. I think it should be a roulette every time.
Well, I always refresh, which gives us the top trending sounds in the United States.
All right.
So, yeah, we got to be on those trends.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are the ones that get you the
clicks. In the United States. We could do trends in Europe.
Sure.
Maybe we should do that instead.
Colin, is my microphone up high enough? I sound quiet, but you guys sound loud.
Okay. Well, I can turn you up a little bit. Okay. You're 2.
Yes, I am. I'm still 2. Hey, that's a little bit louder.
That's great.
I like that.
Okay.
I was just listening to us. Weird still. Mm-hmm. And I was really quiet. I had like keep raising the volume up. It was me. It wasn't you guys. Yeah. It was just me. I'm trying to have my microphone in the optimal position right now. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about it. And I thought I'd have you, you know, raise up my volume a little bit as well.
Okay.
I like that.
I'm also trying to do a little homework while you guys are talking so that I can catch up to what we are talking about.
Oh, wow.
Well,
wouldn't this be pod work, not homework?
I mean, I guess I'm not at home, so there is that.
Yeah.
Homework for the pod, I guess.
Yeah. And is it work when you're just hanging out with your friends?
You know what? Sometimes, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Also, fair. Sometimes it's just work to hang out with your friends.
Yep.
I don't know what that's like.
Let's switch shoes sometime.
I think mine are the different size.
That's okay.
I don't think we'll fit in some other people's shoes sometimes. I mean, I probably fit in everybody's. My feet are not...
I think
massive by any chance.
I think we are the same size.
Well, so there you go.
Yeah.
Just in general.
This week on the podcast, who's got shoes?
In general.
Just across the board.
Look at us. We're exactly the same
size. Yeah, in every way.
Huh. Yeah.
I don't know if you knew this, but.
That tracks. Yeah, totally.
Getting closer every day. I've been going to the gym, and since my back surgery, I'm like 30 pounds down or so.
It's pretty good.
Which is pretty nice.
Congratulations. Can we get an applause? Gotta be quicker about these things.
Roulette. Never know what it's gonna be.
Because those ones aren't marked, so I can't remember. Yeah. I know that this is the one we use on Mike all the time.
That would have been even more inappropriate to give him.
That's the number one. So I think the applause is
There we go.
Congratulations,
yeah.
Mike.
Part of that's because I quit drinking as well. I quit drinking when my grandmother got her Dewey, and then I tried to start drinking again, and it didn't go well.
Hmm.
My stomach got crampy and sucked. And so then I tried again, obviously,
yeah,
just to make sure, and it wasn't good again.
You'll be back.
I know, it's been a few months.
You'll be
now.
Back. You'll be back.
I did last time, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's one of those things.
It's not that I want to not be drinking. It's that it didn't feel good.
I mean, I don't think it's anything to brag about to be drinking.
No, but I miss it. I like beer.
Yeah, beer's great.
Yeah.
Here's the beer.
Here, and also sparkling waters.
Which is world-renowned for its intense flavor and
yes.
mood elevation.
Mm.
This one is lime, key lime.
That's key lime. I like to call that a dessert LaCroix.
Oh.
Because it's sweet.
Okay, all right.
Yep. Key lime's in there. The Pastique watermelon.
Yeah.
That one's yep. That's a dessert LaCroix that I quite enjoy. I hate watermelon, by the way.
Really?
And I don't like watermelon candy. Anything watermelon flavored, not for me. Watermelon LaCroix, just enough.
It's because, yeah.
It's not really.
You don't hate watermelon. You hate the concentrations of watermelon.
What's ironic is the thing that I don't like about watermelon is that when you eat the fruit, to me, it tastes bland. And it bothers me.
So.
It's not like sharp
less,
tasting.
Less of the less
yeah.
is more.
I can't explain it, but yes.
It's probably because you grew up so used to watermelon flavored things.
Yeah, probably.
That overdo the watermelon flavor. Yeah. And so then when you have a watermelon, it's like, this doesn't taste like Kool-Aid. Yeah.
Well, that's like banana flavored things. No banana flavoring tastes like any of the bananas we have nowadays.
Or ever, I think, probably. Yeah.
Well, no, actually, there's a funny story about that. The banana flavoring was made out of whatever to be like a certain type of banana that is small and very sweet. Hmm. And then like people ate those into extinction and you can't get those types of banana anymore. So it is flavored after a banana. It just doesn't exist.
Are you calling regular bananas not sweet?
No, just not that sweet.
Oh, okay. Like it was like, much more intense.
It was a smaller and much more like aggressive banana flavor in a, that's what the flavoring is based off of.
Interesting. But, like,
it was an interesting thing that I learned for no reason.
Yeah, well,
but now here we are.
Guess what? I'm not going to fact check you on that one.
Go for it. hey, there you go.
Oh, it's those little yellow guys.
This is going to be the one that gets us copyrighted.
Probably.
Minions has a real big.
They're very defense, litigious.
Yeah.
Their legal team is insane.
Oh my god. I was going to say on the watermelon thing you said because I would have probably had more watermelon flavored things. Mm-hmm. We didn't have a lot of fresh fruit and produce in my house as a kid.
Oh.
I don't know if that's like, I've found that, I can't tell if it's like a socio-economical thing or if it's like a health conscious. I have no idea why. And I always feel bad when I say things like this because my little brother is 10 years younger than me. And I think he's listening to this and thinking either you're crazy or I had a different childhood or
right.
I didn't see it that way or whatever. So I always kind of feel bad about that. But we didn't have like, I mean, we did have some things, but not like that. Like, I don't think that I ever had watermelon in my house that I can recall ever.
We had a lot less, but we were in Alaska where the growing season doesn't exist and you have to ship it.
Yeah.
So I get where you're coming from. And we also weren't, you know, like we were like lower middle class growing up kind of thing. And, when we moved down to Oregon, that was something that we noticed is that like, there was fresh food all like you could grow stuff nearby and it's not hard to get. And that was the big difference. Everything was cheaper at the grocery store. So we were able to do a lot more, but that was, you know, Alaska. So I don't know why you didn't have it, but
well, I know why, but I'm not going to go too far down that path. What are we doing now?
We're trying to,
is that a thing I should know?
I don't know. I think it said watermelon, but
oh, yeah, of course, it's the watermelon song.
Yeah. There you go.
Oh,
hey,
that's
a little more obvious.
There
right?
we go.
That's a different one. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That would have been more obvious to you.
Yeah.
I was looking for Water Malone.
Is that a thing?
It's the most beautiful thing.
Oh yeah.
Seed of my life. It's Water Malone. Inside of Water Malone.
That's what I was looking for.
I showed that to Miles, and every time Haley gets watermelon out, he goes, "No, no, Mom, it's watermelon."
Watermelon.
And I'm like, "This is the greatest."
That's awesome.
I love teaching him little things like that to use against my wife.
That's the way that it should be, right?
Yes.
Well, before we get too far into this podcast, we should probably say it's the Campfire Passport Podcast.
Oh.
Okay, it's been said.
Okay, and then the second thing that I want to say is we're getting close to Halloween.
Yeah.
And man, I don't know about in your town when you're listening to this, if you don't live here, do you have stupid people, especially stupid Jeep people, that have skeletons of all kinds all over their vehicles? Like, it's worse to me.
Fake blood.
Fake blood. It's worse to me than the Christmas light thing, which I also don't like.
Yep.
Very against that. But at least somehow that feels classier, you know? Yeah. Like, you put a little, like, you got a little, some lights on your rack. Like, that's stupid, but it's not that stupid.
It seems worse this year.
10-foot-tall skeleton sitting in the backseat of your Jeep. In, you know, on October 5th,
yep.
Get the fuck out of here. That's so stupid.
It seems worse this year. It seems more aggressive and, like, more people are doing it. I think people are making these skeletons too accessible. Mm. I think we need to start. I think there should be, like, a background check or a psych, you know, a psych exam.
Shortage on giant skeletons.
Yeah, for a while.
Yeah.
Supply chain and all that.
Yeah.
You have to check a box that says you'll only put it in your yard as a regular Halloween decoration, like a normal human. Stop strapping it to your vehicle.
I saw one that was a like a truck, just a Dodge Ram or something, skeleton dog in the back. And I was like, what is that even? It kind of implies that you left your dog in your truck until it died. That's what I saw.
Yeah.
Especially when it's by itself. It doesn't have a skeleton guy friend or like.
Yeah, there's not like another skeleton thing there.
Not two skeleton dogs. I don't know. There wasn't any blood either, or spider webs.
I've been seeing a Subaru Crosstrek, and of course it's pumpkin orange, and it's got a rack, and they've got like spider webs and all of that, like all over the rack. No skeletons, but it is skeleton adjacent.
How long until one of these skeletons comes off? Because the people installing them are not top class, you know, mechanics by any means. It causes enough of an accident that we have some sort of like legislation against it. It's got to happen.
I'm sure there's a law in place that would work.
Yeah.
You know, like some sort of, I don't know, not distraction, but like obstruction of view kind of thing.
Yeah. Or
unsecured load.
Exactly.
I will say this is, I don't know what you guys are going to have for an opinion on this. Houses with that stuff, I'm all for.
I don't care at all.
Yep. Spooky your house up. I'm cool with that. That's sweet.
Because you're doing it for the kids and the neighborhood, sure. And it's a lot of fun. And none of these people are doing it for kids. They're doing it for themselves.
They're doing it to pat themselves on the back because they love.
Yeah. Make sure you see my Jeep with the giant skeleton because you need to look at me more. Fuck. I mean, how else are they going to get all those ducks? You know, you got to get noticed.
There's got to be a skeleton duck.
I was just thinking about that. I was like, I bet there's a skeleton duck that somebody's passing out. There's pumpkin ducks.
I'm not even willing to Google
it. You want that on your history?
Don't put that in my algorithm.
Your FBI agent shouldn't see you Googling ducks.
Even though I've said it out loud with my phone in the room, it's going to be all over my phone. So.
Here we are.
Yeah.
This is a good. This is a good investment.
Copyrighted on that one too. Maybe cool. I guess.
Do you have the copyright board there? Basically,
I don't know. I'm just,
specifically.
What other stupid, like seasonal stupid things are there? So there's Christmas lights for sure. Mm-hmm. Skeletons.
Yep. Skeletons and pumpkins.
I've seen
the
people
pumpkin
do...
on the snorkel.
What?
In the Overland thing.
I've never seen that.
Haven't seen that?
No.
People do the pumpkins on the top of the snorkel.
Oh,
I've seen it.
Yeah. There's the cab full of water down during hurricane season in Florida.
I don't think that's a holiday.
Yeah,
no. Well, it's a season. It's a seasonal thing.
Yeah, usually not a holiday though.
It's because the Florida flooded, Sean.
I don't understand. Know if
about there's a hurricane that happened.
There's two.
A couple of them. And a third one's coming. That was the joke.
Okay.
I think a lot of this started from what I remember is BMW guys were doing the blood all over their cars. This is the first thing I remember of like this whole thing.
It was Mustangs first.
Was it Mustang? Well, that was
because
that
was first. It was real blood. Oh, yeah. And then they started making fun of themselves by putting fake blood.
Well, even when I was younger than that era of Mustangs running into lots of people, I remember there being like a couple BMWs that were like white and red, and they had like. Blood handprints and stuff all over their cars. That's the first one I remember.
It must be an Alaska thing.
So, it was after Alaska. No, it was
California here. Thing.
Here
in this area. Well, I don't know. I was just thinking other holidays. Like, is there St. Patrick's Day car?
I'm sure there's like three people that do that. But there,
I think it probably exponentially grows and shrinks on the outward view of how large the holiday itself is.
And not a lot of people are driving on St. Patrick's Day. Let's be real.
They shouldn't.
I sure hope not. Yeah,
it's an Uber holiday for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Sports teams. That was what I was going to think of. Mm. Especially college football.
Yeah.
Especially college football.
Yeah, that's fair. That's
honestly, high school sports as well. People are
really
drawing all over their cars.
Yeah, I guess there's some drawing. I just don't see like the flags. Like,
no.
You know, Oregon, University of Oregon and Oregon State fans both have flags.
A lot of times, both of them.
Yeah.
Which is confusing.
House divided.
Oh, that's even better. Yeah. What is there's a bumper sticker. It's like, duck up front, beaver in the trunk, or the flip of that or something.
I've never seen
you haven't seen that?
No, I've not seen that.
Oh, man.
I'm glad I haven't.
Pretty stupid.
Yeah. There's a lot of stupid stickers out there.
I don't know. That's
they go well with the stupid people.
Hmm.
As long as they're happy, though. I hope they're happy.
Yeah, I do in a way, but also, as much as I want to, respect everybody, and I am trying always to be that way, there's like a section of people.
Yeah. No, they could stop.
That I just am like, stop doing that.
Yeah.
You're making everybody look bad.
But I don't think we're going to make them stop doing it. And so at least I hope they're happy.
Not.
Nope.
That's all.
Yeah. The best thing you can do in that situation is give them less attention.
Oh, yeah. I just kind of pretend they don't exist.
Mm-hmm.
I got to stop high-fiving all of them.
Well, you're definitely Jeep waving
That's
them.
A Jeep guy thing to do right there.
I'm joking. Come on.
As you're driving around without a top or doors when it's 50 degrees outside because you're that cool.
I only did that at the Rubicon. I'm actually going to flex you. So here's how
there.
Here's how not going to remove my top I am. I'm flex sealing the gap because water comes in for my Freedom tops.
Mm.
So I bought that like
four-inch
wide.
So no more Freedom for you?
No, stop
Freedom. Freedom is out. No Freedom.
We're going to flex seal that whole thing shut. And if I ever need to take the top and doors off again, I'm just going to have to deal with that as later me. Because I don't ever want it to be off except for like an extreme circumstance like doing the Rubicon. It makes the most sense then. There you go. YouTube's going to be like, I don't know how many copyrights you infringed upon, but
it's many.
I don't know what we're allowed to do here.
That's under 7% of that movie.
Yeah. All right. Well,
hey, there you go.
That's what I was told was the rule of thumb. Technically, it's not true, but
it's not true. Oh, no.
I'm 100% aware that this is not a fact, but I will state it anyway.
Yeah. Because that's what people typically say.
Yeah. So I'm going to seal that off because every time I go through a car wash, it rains inside. So that's cool.
Cool.
Not really.
Well, it's very cold.
Well, cool and cold.
Yeah.
That reminds me.
It's not awesome. That's for sure.
My sunroof was closed shut with some sort of sealant.
Ah.
And I broke that seal at some point a couple of years ago. And so anytime I go through a car wash, if it rains, it's like not bad usually, but if snow melts up there or I go through a car wash, it drips pretty aggressively inside. So I need to fix that.
I won't have any before winter.
You know,
Flex Seal.
One of the things that probably helped in you not noticing that was when you used to leave the tent on.
Oh, yeah, that helps. That helps for sure. Because I also don't go through, like, what I usually do when the tent isn't on is use touchless car washes. Not like I'm going to screw the paint up just because I don't want stuff to get knocked off. It just kind of feels like the easiest thing. And man, those are some aggressive jets that come spraying through my sunroof.
Yep.
I think when Ethan was here, we might have talked about it, but the guy Solve Function, the guy that does like Land Cruiser parts, he makes a bunch of like 3D printed stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He's making a sunroof plug that is like either not see-through or like a plexi see-through or something else. I forget what the other option was, but it doesn't open. Basically, it's a fixed sunroof panel that seals.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to do that because I've never really, it's never worked. And
half the year you've got a
tent on there anyway. So, like, I don't need it. And it also saves, not that this is a huge thing, but it saves like 60 pounds or something like that. Over, well, yeah, because
the glass is.
Yeah, and the motors and the track heavy, yeah. and all that stuff. So,
I mean, 60 pounds that high does make a difference.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, my tent's only, what, 120 or something. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
A couple of those things together. So, if you're listening, Lee, I think is his name. Mm, well, get going on that, buddy.
Do we need to fact check you on that one?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. If you do that after the podcast and change it, I'll voice it over. I'll dub it.
Yeah.
That's like
his name's gonna be like three syllables long. You said Lee, and it's just gonna be like Jonathan.
You're like, oh no. Yeah, it's close. Yeah. It's close. J and L are pretty close to each other in the alphabet.
Dubbing will be really fun.
So, yeah. It's funny because I don't know about you right now because it sounds like you might be in the same path. That is like one of the things I'm thinking about as a key modification for my car for the next 6 months. Like I've kind of. I'm not thinking about other things. I'm like, you know what I need to do is seal up my sunroof.
Yeah, my Jeep is pretty well set. I think I might need to refix the rear end permanently because it feels like the shims are sliding again. It's kind of whining in the back again, which is like the first thing it was doing before. For the listeners at home, the rear end on my Jeep was flashing the locker light at me because the driver's side, all of the shims in the rear had slid out, and so the actual gear set had like moved pretty regularly. So I pushed it all back in there and hoped for the best. And so far, it's been fine. But I might have to do that, and then otherwise, it's like seal it up so I can winter wheel it. It's got some questionable leaks when it gets cold, and I'm just not. I don't know exactly what's leaking. Nothing's low on any kind of fluid.
You're fine then.
So when I figure out what is leaking out of it, I'll get that figured out. I already took almost 3 quarts of transmission fluid out of it.
Yeah. So a little ATF. Leak there would have helped you.
I know. I wish it would have. I did the whole Rubicon with 3 too many quarts of ATF in it.
Well, it was, yeah.
Which is
working
fine.
Hard.
Yeah. So that leak is gone, which is nice.
I caught in conversation something about gears, and I was very confused, and we all glossed over it, and I was like, I don't know what we're doing here.
Well, I finally read into it. It's got 513 gears. So I've assumed it was – it's not fast, right? And so I assumed it was just like OEM gear set because the people who I bought it from didn't know because they were a wrecking yard. And the people who wrecked it weren't good at Jeeps from what I remember. By how it was. And so I was like, obviously they didn't re-gear it. It didn't make any sense. They had 35s on it. And like, why would they re-gear it?
They definitely looked like something that came off of something else too.
Yeah. So I don't know. They had 513 gears in it though. So and they're stamped and all that. So you can tell exactly that that's what they are, but they work.
Cool.
It does stuff when it's time to be slow.
Yeah.
And it'll do 70. It's not happy about it, but it will.
Those are fine. Mm-hmm. The 37s helped, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I not that it wasn't going to be that impressive that you had done whatever you've done on, you know, stock gears, but
right.
Now it's like, oh, okay, well, that makes
more
sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I just hadn't opened them up, you know. The cool thing about the Dana 44s on the JKs is that you have a drain plug in the bottom and a fill plug in the top, and so you can just change your oil and you don't have to open anything and you don't have to pop the case to drain it and all that other stuff. So I just never opened it. I've been doing gear oil changes every time they get submerged.
You're a better person than I am.
Well, mine definitely pull water in, so I know that I have to.
I've done that before. Well, my front axle really pretty much was just a constant drain and refill. Not anymore.
You've essentially been flushing it for the last 10 years. Yeah,
I've been flushing it with grease and water and who knows what else.
Dirt.
Year. Mm-hmm. Once a year or so. Once every other year. Just do it.
Yeah.
Just because.
Probably around that. But I did it a couple times because it was sparkly. So I did it once, and then we wheeled it a little bit, and it was less sparkly the second time. And I was like, oh, great.
Okay. That's perfect. It fixed. It fixed itself.
Well, it was probably because those gears were breaking in, and nobody had changed the oil on it.
That actually could be true. That's interesting. Yeah.
So, because the last time when I opened it up, there was no sparkle. It was great.
Well, should we talk about some other things that aren't our stuff.
Hmm. Sure.
Okay, let's do it. So I actually was thinking about this when you brought it up. So Colin suggested that we talk about the current accumulation of content around the Onyx Build Challenge for this year, mm-hmm. which is the second season, which is really cool. And I think it actually is something that's like pretty relevant to what we always talk about. And well, it's cool stuff. Like, I think it's a great initiative that they're working on. I thought we had talked about the start of it before, but maybe we haven't.
Very briefly.
Yeah, okay.
We didn't really cover a ton.
Okay. So they did this last year, and a bunch of YouTubers basically got together and built a vehicle with a certain budget with some key sponsors that are like supplying a few of the parts. I think there's probably like a safety budget that isn't accounted for, just some silly YouTube stuff like that.
Brakes, safety stuff, seats, things that you can. Last year, and I don't know if they've changed it much, but last year they were like stretching that as far as they could. They're like, extended brake lines shouldn't be covered because you need your brakes to work. And they're like, and you know, if you have better bushings, you're less likely to have. And they're,
it's the name of the game.
But that's, I would do that too.
Yeah.
Got to find the loopholes.
Absolutely. Yeah. So this year they did it, and I watched that video, but I didn't rewatch it again today. What's the official theme? What is it supposed to be?
So here's some insider baseball there. The official theme was overland.
That's like what I thought.
Camping
like
style.
You can drive to the trail in this thing, whatever it is. Was
well,
the idea.
And it was supposed to not be like a lot of trail. It was supposed to be like a 4-day, you got to camp and sleep and do out of it kind of thing. And then, so Colt, who has who's doing the pacer, has just dropped out of it. And one of the things he dropped out of it about was he was building a 2-wheel drive, like trophy truck style pacer is what he wanted to do. He thought it'd be cool to have that. And they changed the rules from dirt roads, overlanding, campy stuff, which would have been great in a 2-wheel drive, you know, dirt jumping style pacer. It'd be a lot of fun to have a bit of power and a lot of fun there. To, we're going to have some like real rock crawling, and they kind of modified as they went. So it's going to be more of like a rocklander kind of style, not just overlander.
Term, but I
know,
get
but
it.
You know what I mean, though.
It fills it, the thing. I makes understand the sense. It. But
I know.
Jeez, I hate it.
It's there now. And so he's like, I then am not building A, what I wanted to, and B, it's not going to work for the things that we're doing. So that's part of why he dropped out. But yeah, so it's supposed to be like that rocklander deal.
That's what I understood it as from the beginning, but I may not have. I mean, obviously, I wasn't there. I will also say, to build a 2-wheel drive truck of any kind, or car, I guess, in this case, for an off-road challenge, is taking some pretty big assumptions on what you're going to do. Because when they like got them all together, they made them all test these vehicles, and they had to do like a tug of war, and they had to drive up this hill that you're not going to make in a pre-runner,
right?
Like you. Maybe, I guess.
I mean, at 50, maybe.
But, like, that's not what that's for. So that's kind of a weird thing. But, you know, whatever. I don't know the inside part of it. I'm sure he's got more to that story, and it's his story to tell. So that's the theme. Mm-hmm. The original video, which, if you're not watching, it's on the Onyx YouTube channel, or Onyx Off-Road YouTube channel. They get all these people together, and they bring their projects. The thing that I never got, and I think it's the thing that we talked about when we brought this up originally, is everything is so weird. There's like the first one was like, hey, we're building a Ram Charger. We're building an 80 series. We're building a normal off-road rigs. And then this
one, S10 was the other one.
S10. Great S10. Square body S10.
To me, I think what the main format change was so the first year there was only 4.
Yeah.
So I think the first year was really the test, the beta run.
Yeah.
To see if they could, if Onyx itself could put this on and it could turn into something.
Yeah.
And now that they have proof of concept, they are doing it again. And everyone from last year was invited again to do it, plus some additionals as well. So they expanded the group.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that now there is this proof of concept and they've got more people in there. Some people are choosing to be kind of off the wall or whatever because it's this.
I bet it was
it's this extra build that they get to do for their own content as well as for someone else.
Yeah.
So that's why they're kind of doing weird. Some of them are doing weird stuff. Not everyone is doing super weird things. There are a couple of more traditional styles going on.
Well, so another thing that I had heard about it was that it was kind of, they were pitching it and trying to make it a for TV episode kind of setup there, and it didn't pan out, it sounds like. So it'll all be on YouTube like the last one, which is still just fine for most of us. But I think that there was probably some, like, make it a little bit weird. You know, those Netflix race car series where they've got light up Corvettes and all the, like, oh yeah, you got to be wild so that people will watch it. And that's not for us. That's not for car people. But that'll, if you make it for TV, you kind of have to make it for all people. And so I could see why one of them was a Mini Cooper.
Bread van, a Mini Cooper, originally a Jeep on a Dodge chassis, which isn't that weird, but it's weird enough.
But it's a dually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else you got? The Jeep Liberty or whatever.
Liberty, mm-hmm. A Willys wagon.
Which seems to be one of the more normal ones.
Yeah, that's normal, but
that's my favorite
very
build.
Cool,
for sure. It's very cool.
Yeah. So far. XJ Jaguar.
Mm-hmm.
A
Pacer, which is no longer.
The Pacer. Well, so here's the thing about the Pacer. I don't know that that's necessarily out. Because Colt was the only group, it was him and the Tow-Mater guy that were partners on it. So Colt may have backed out. They're both out. Okay.
Yep, so Colt talked about that in the.
Maybe Tow-Mater was just going to take over and make it a four-wheel drive, but.
There was like some scheduling changes, the first person that was out apparently was the Mater guy because he's getting married, and then the scheduling changes were schedule changed like into his wedding. And so he was like, and so then Colt also backed out. But the Pacer at this point, because he had found out about the changes, is now on like a TJ chassis with, you know, Jeep running gear and all that stuff. So it kind of sounds like it would have been ready for that. And the way he was talking, he's going to undo all that stuff and do a long arm two-wheel drive race rig still on the TJ frame.
I could have swore that in the other video he said that they had already talked about that's what they were going to do.
Yeah,
well, all the TJ stuff.
But. I'll send you the other video because he was talking about how like that was not that's so not
I
the plan that he
I didn't
had
do
for
the
building,
deep dive and go into every individual person's channel to watch what they're doing. Yeah. I just watched what was on the Onyx thing stuff, just to get the basic idea of everything.
I thought it was interesting because I was only interested because of the drama part of that one, following that. I was just like, I wonder what's going
on. A little drama.
But I like watching the Fab Rat stuff. Those guys are interesting in the garage. They're like, they build things kind of like I would build them. And not like in the YouTuber way. Like in the, I would already be in the garage. Well, what if it hits that? You're like, I don't know, let's build it. And then if it hits that, let's figure it out.
Sure.
Sort of deal. I like that style of building, I guess.
Yeah, I think he's got, the Fab Rat dude has the coolest starting point.
Yeah.
And has the most potential for it being like the best rig out there.
Well, it's LS on tons in a Super Duty chassis that's been shortened.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, it's pretty slam dunk. There's really no downside on that rig.
And it sits really low.
Being a really old body that is going to be
beat up eventually.
An old body inside.
Oh, I guess if you're
like noisy and dusty and all that shit.
Yeah.
But outside of that, like, everybody loves a Willys wagon. They're cool. Yep. They're nostalgic.
And he kept it low center of gravity, which is big in the way that it looks.
Yeah, it looks
great. It looks really rad.
Mm-hmm.
I like that the switch to the Rover. We talked about this a few weeks ago.
The Series 3 for Nate.
Yeah. That's a cool looking rig. I mean, is it going to perform well? I have no idea. But it
looks
cool.
Oh, he swapped to that? He's not going to do the dually anymore?
So he basically, he made sure that he could change vehicles if it was within the Onyx rules. And I'm sure they, bent some rules for him to let him stay in the competition.
Yeah.
But basically, he came to this crossing point of deciding that the time constraint was going to cause it so that he couldn't build it how he wanted to. Because right. originally, it was this build was going to be like he planned on doing this build for himself anyway.
Right.
And so he was just going to double yeah. up and use it at, for both. But now, because he has this time constraint, he knew he wasn't going to be able to get the things done that he wanted to get it done and how he wanted to get it done. So he bailed out on that for now.
Right.
To then do a quicker, simpler project with Series 3.
Well, yeah, that blue Jeep has been in the back of his shop for forever, getting little things done to it where they were he was going to diesel swap it and get it all squared away for being a tow pig. If I remember correctly, a long, long while back. So,
yeah, it's, but he doesn't shop. Shop and recovery and all that.
Like, he doesn't have to do anything though. So that makes sense. I could see how he would like, well, if it's going to be my truck, I want it to be this, this, and this.
Mm-hmm. That's a really nice way to say he overthinks everything.
Oh yeah. He goes into it, man.
I rebuilt the suspension four different times because
I've got a gusset for this gusset so that I could dimple dye it.
Yeah. I didn't want to make it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's some interesting characters as far as the people in this group go. It's a lot of, I mean, obviously they're all YouTubers. Mm-hmm.
Is that one lady that you don't like to listen to?
Yeah. She's a bit tough. But so here was the thing that I noticed as I was going through the videos. I think that 75% of them are all in Utah. Is Utah some kind of YouTuber tax haven or something? Like, what is going on there?
I think the Mormon church is strong.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I do.
Fabrats is there. Mm-hmm. Friggin' Matt's off-road worker. Granted, he's not in this competition, but he's in Utah also.
Yep.
And then the then Rudy is there, and then the
Robbie Layton guy,
is there, and the girl, the
mischief maker,
she's Tomater there.
Is there.
Tomater is from there. Like what?
The light bright couple is there.
Yeah, see,
it's Sand Hollow.
What is well
is the big thing? So
I think there's one more thing in common. That's my theory.
So the Mormons are taking over.
I think so.
I mean, good on them.
Man. I'm just, you know, it's.
I don't know that
the unbiased or unbased claim. I have no idea, but I have a hunch.
Are the light bright people Mormon? I don't think they are.
I bet they have space underwear just like Matt from Matt's Off Road Recovery does.
I don't know. I'd be interested to know because a lot of their content is the wife in a bikini being a big.
Oh well, there you go.
I don't know.
Clickbaity.
Yeah, no, they're all about
They're all about her in a bikini.
They go to Jeep Beach every year, and the picture is just
you know,
like
you're
they get
swimming.
All,
what are you gonna do?
All the hot women they could find, and that's the you know click.
Listen, I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying I think it's part of it.
Well, I'm not saying it's wrong either. I would just be interested to know if they're the sexy side of the Mormon Church.
Yeah, well,
they're Mormons
reformed.
After dark.
Reformans,
but they're not.
I really got myself with that one.
I made a bad joke. We had sound effects, and then he does, and he gets to laugh at himself. I get it. I see how this
is. Sorry, I was looking at the Utah tax rates.
Colin's going to move.
There's got to be something deeper than just it's everyone's Mormons. Come on.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Well, it is impressive.
Down there. You can buy Jeep parts for super cheap. I got a Curry 9-inch fabricated housing axle for $450.
That's pretty sweet.
So I get it.
I mean, Sand Hollow and Moab being together are something for sure. That could have something to do with the off-road basis of those channels. You could be right, but also,
yeah,
like 80% of the population of Utah.
I mean, I guess it's
true.
Like
that's true.
Relatively close to California, so it's kind of easy to get to California. It's kind of easy to get to Arizona because Arizona seems to be blowing up with more knowledge of their wheeling areas out there.
Well, Arizona is interesting because it's always been like without going to the, you know, to the East Coast or something, that is like car culture number two. Phoenix, anybody that was in the LA, you know, car industry basically, eventually if they didn't stay, one of the main places they would have gone that's not you know, Chicago or something like that is Arizona. Phoenix is like a hotbed for bike stuff. It's a hotbed for custom
weather,
stuff.
Weather, for one. And then two, it being a giant metro area. So when you need to find employees for these businesses, there's a large pool
It's predominantly always been cheap, too.
And you get year-round car culture. You don't have to stop. California was popular.
It's flipped for those people. You don't have car culture from, you know, July to September. That's the thing.
You just blocks that can't cool themselves.
Yeah, exactly. You got to put AC in the build.
All the hardcore motorcycle guys stop riding. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Too damn hot.
Mm-hmm. It sucks to ride when it's that hot. I have, like, this summer has sucked for me to get out and ride. It's either been super smoky or super hot. And if you have any kind of gear on, you're just sweating through it.
So... what is everybody's favorite then? Is it the Willys?
The Willys, yeah.
I think for me it's the Willys and then the Series 3.
Yeah,
I'm a Land Rover nerd.
I haven't looked at that yet, so I don't know. That might have a place.
It's really good.
I think it's gonna be cool.
I really like the simplicity of you just put it on the Ford chassis though, and you put an LS in it. I think that's gonna give him a lot of like, whoop pow, don't worry about it.
What did he say? Thing. I was watching that video today. It's shortened, like...
It's like 40 inches.
Yeah. So you don't just put it on.
So
the links almost touch in the middle.
Yeah, he shortened it from the middle by...
Like 30 inches.
By like 30 or 40 inches, and then he cut 4 feet off the back.
That's what I heard. Yeah.
So 7 feet of frame just hacked out of that thing almost.
All I'm saying is that
The body mounts lined right up, apparently. Yeah.
Well, because didn't he say there's like 16 body mounts
12.
On the Jeep?
Yeah.
So he's like, pick your favorite.
You know, six.
Yeah.
That thing had 12.
Whew. Yeah. But I think that that frame is going to be plenty strong. I think those axles are going to be plenty strong. That LS is going to work. There's just not anything that's like super
nothing wrong with
weird
it.
About Obviously, it. And yeah, it's going to work.
It's a good combo of all things. So yeah, like I think he's, as long as things go together fine,
right?
I think he's potentially he's in a front runner for winning like the competition part.
Right, right.
It's not the voting part,
yeah,
because the voting can be, you know,
it's just a popularity contest.
A total popularity contest type deal, followers contest.
Mm-hmm.
But I like Nate's a lot just because it's a Series 3 and it's cool to see a Series 3.
He does overthink a lot of stuff, but he does build pretty good stuff.
The seeing some of the stuff, the bread van thing, he's putting a lot of fancy work into it, and he says like they're not counting the cost of a lot of the materials, it sounded like, because he already had it, which is kind of like, it's a bit of a sidestep.
My company bought stuff and they put it in the...
There, but okay, whatever. But he's doing like a ton of... Well, not him, one of his employees is doing a ton of like aluminum work inside.
What's the general build? Is it going on tons with an LS? Is it going to be... Okay.
What was it? I think it was a Dodge? Was it a Dodge chassis? I can't remember. Anyway.
Okay.
But it was like it's a full size chassis, but it's two wheel drive. So he's just putting a solid axle in the front, but rear already had a one ton axle. And then, like big tires, but he's like actually, he's building the back out as like
a camper,
overland friendly, like a van.
Yeah. Yeah.
He even made a joke about, I might be able to fit a four wheeler in here. So that'd be interesting. But, I think that'll be interesting, but I think that its size potentially could kind of screw him up. But yeah, I'm really not a backer of the make cars for four wheel drives thing. So like the Pacer, as much as I've seen cool Pacers,
Dirty Every Day already did it.
I don't want to see that because I don't like that. I don't like the Jaguar thing. I get the joke because the bleeping Jeep guy is the XJ guy.
XJ thing was kind of
so like, yes, I get it. I get the joke, but I don't like four wheel drive cars. I just don't. I I don't like the idea of it at all. I think it's dumb.
I think I'm on the same page as you, because every time I see, like, you see those lifted Chevelles, or people do that with a Camaro or a Mustang. You're like, what do you, that, just get a truck.
Doesn't Matt's Off-Road, Matt's Off-Road has the Corvair.
Yeah.
And
I mean, that's grown on me a little bit, but yeah, it's still overall.
It seems like an early SUV size. And so
it's a wagon.
Yeah, but I know, but it's short. Its Florida roof is short.
It's a Volkswagen, basically, with
with the front. Yeah.
It's a big Volkswagen.
I gotta say, I was watching one of his recent videos, and there's some thing, and then they drive a brand new GT3 RS, which was kind of like, whoa, okay. And he says it's basically a Corvair, flat six. And I was like, well, you know what? Hats off to you, Matt. Kind of like a Corvair. It's a
way
flat
to
six.
Everything
in the back.
Yep.
Yeah. So I think one that that will do, because I'm not going to count the Mini either, because I think that's dumb as well. I don't know. It's shaping up to be an interesting competition, especially if they actually are going to wheel it stuff like they did last year.
Yeah.
Because some of these, like, car conversion things are dumb, so I almost don't even want to see how they perform. I'd rather see like how someone built the Willys or the Series 3 or even the Liberty. Like,
yeah,
that has a lot of potential to be really good, like, because she's keeping it like super simple. She's not doing anything engine wise. All she's doing is she's not even putting one tons in it. She's doing 44s.
Yeah.
Is what I at least that's what I thought I heard her say. And 37s.
Yeah. Well, it's like my JK at that point. It's got the same 3.8 motor. It's got the same, like,
yeah, it's just a weird looking body that's really small. Like, so I think that might do surprisingly well. Despite,
as long as it stays lightweight, it'll probably be the right.
But yeah, I think outside of the car conversions, I think that the vehicles are cool and are on par with being as cool as the trucks were last year.
Yeah.
In the Ram Charger. The Land Cruiser wasn't that cool. It was just a Land Cruiser.
Shots fired.
And the S10, which, like,
the S10's
like a who cares truck, really. Like, I'm not into that truck at all.
No, but
it worked. It was a really well done, very simple, like, all Leafs. Like, it was, a really good truck. Like, that was a good wheeler for
it
sure.
Did so well.
Mm-hmm.
And, I agree with that. I do think it's going to be interesting because I think Rudy's a pretty decent fabricator. And I think that.
Yeah, but you started with a Mini Cooper.
I know. I don't think it's going to be good.
A new Mini. Sorry.
I don't think I'm going to like
it. Mini Cooper.
I don't think I'm going to like it, but I think it's going to do better than I expect.
Yeah. Well, he's one of the ones that isn't just taking the body and putting it on some other
frame. He's like two.
He's trying to build everything, which is going to be. So it's basically like,
it's
going to be a tube chassis, basically, with a Mini body kind of around it.
Yeah.
Which is what I'm saying. Like, I think it's probably going to do really well. And if he does it right, I mean, it'd be like having a buggy that has a Jeep grill in it. I mean, maybe he takes enough of the body off of it that it's a Mini Cooper tube buggy.
I mean, I get that they want him to have this freedom of creativity, but I think that some of them were leaning a little too far into the, I'm going to do something weird and wacky.
Yeah.
And not care about the original concept of we're camping out of this vehicle. Because you're not going to have any fucking space in a Mini to haul any of your stuff, even for one person. Especially
it's not going to be a good overlander.
Especially if you've tube chassis'd the fucking thing.
Yeah.
Just like there's not that much room in a KJ, in a friggin' Liberty. Like even for two people, I mean, maybe, pull the back seats out and just have as much stuff in there as you can.
Well,
that's not
the
that
buggy
big.
Guys
and
do
the Series
Rubicon.
3 for Nate, also not a big vehicle, but at least it's a truck. So
buggy guys go out and do the Rubicon camp for the night.
They rough it.
But Yeah.
They're going camping.
Yeah. Yeah. Hammock. And I mean, technically, you know, that's a way to do it, but
yeah. So there's another thing that you might like that I don't know if you caught yet, Colin. There's a wild card. Have you seen the wild card person?
No.
Okay. So there is a wild card
there's
entry.
There's an extra person that nobody knows who he is or what he's doing.
I don't know when it was released or like, you know, whatever, whenever they announced it. But there is the wild card person. They are they're all over the social media stuff a little bit now. Like there's been a few things. It's this Ultra 4 Jones guy, which remember the full size OBS trucks that ran the Rubicon?
Yeah, yeah.
It's that guy. He has a Bronco, an OBS Bronco. He's done a 7.3 swap in and is putting
in
this.
Oh, I did see some of that, actually. Right. Yeah, so, but I didn't know that that's what it was for.
That's what it's for.
Interesting.
Really, really fun stats on the standings currently of the...
for the voting, for the voting. People's vote.
And I'm going to assume that the, you know, the guy, whatever his name is, this wild card person is probably maybe weak into the competition as opposed to 6 months or whatever for the others. The top, well, I'll just give all of them. So number, let's go worst to first.
Yeah, bottom to top. Yeah. Come on.
Ultra four Jones.
Okay, he's at the bottom.
Yep. 5 votes.
Ooh.
That's
okay.
It?
All right.
Ouch.
Well, I didn't even know about him yet. So to his credit, he's not visible.
Oh, yeah, not too far behind because next is Dirt Lifestyle Nate with 9,595. Mm-hmm. Close. Tight
Nate,
race.
But Nate's still at the bottom, which he always was.
Oh, he is.
Last year worst. As yeah. well yeah. because the, for he does not get people to vote for him at all, even though he does pretty good in, as far as the this build and the competitions go.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird.
He gets the content out of it.
There seems to be like two tiers basically here is what's going on. All right. So then you got Trail Builds It, which is the Colt guy and the Trail Mater guy. Yeah, I think his name is Rory, by the way.
Ooh, yes, you are correct.
So, all right. Good, good for me. 10,255.
Okay.
So kind
of
tight.
But none of those count.
Yeah, because apparently that he's their leader, right?
If he's out, so they should give those to the wild card guy.
There you go, yeah.
And then
that's fair.
Start it back up.
Yeah.
Nate's going to lose no matter what, right?
Yeah.
So, even though it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what he does.
It'll do well, yeah.
And then you got Robbie Layton, 12,183 for the bread van.
I'm getting the Mormons involved.
Yep. Speaking of Mormons, allegedly, you got Rudy's Adventure and Design. 13,582.
But that one's not allegedly.
He's donated more to the church, probably.
Yeah, because definitely.
Because he's directly related to Matt's.
Okay, well then how about allegedly Mischief Maker?
Okay.
37,453. We start to get into tier one here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's not even tier one yet.
The big dogs.
Yeah, so you go from 13,5 to 37,5. Like, that's a jump.
That's a big jump.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you have the Bleep and Jeep crew with their XJ. 39,140.
Mm-hmm.
So that puts Fab Rats at number one with Willys. Just called a Wagoneer. That was 42,344.
Okay.
So the top three are tight. Like that's all in there. That's probably, you know, a day of voting could change that easily. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what the Electoral College looks like for this, but
at certain states worth
Bleep
more.
And Jeep could take it depending on the state.
What state did he get?
And then it's going to be, they're all going to be at SEMA. I'm excited to actually see these.
Yeah, that's
rigs
part of the road trip, basically, is they're going to like overland and wheel, and then the end point is SEMA, and all the vehicles will be at SEMA for everyone to see.
That's cool. Is it wheel it and then SEMA, or is it SEMA and then wheel it?
SEMA is the last stop.
It's the last stop. Okay. That'll be interesting. It'll be cool to see. Is this them or someone else I saw is doing a display that you can register for, but you don't have to be registered for SEMA? Maybe it's somebody else.
I don't know.
They might be doing...
I did see that one of the other things was you can come on this trip. You apply, and you could potentially be invited on the trip. I don't know what the... I didn't look into what the rules and regulations were of like how you could potentially qualify for it, but they did kind of hint at that in a couple of the videos, like, hey, if you want to come on this trip, you can apply here and potentially come along.
To me, the Onyx thing that made more sense would be more like the Ultimate Adventure, like the Overland Adventure, mm-hmm. that's no longer happening because the magazine's dried up. Like, they should fill that gap. Well, they're happening. They're just changing the names. They're not Ultimate Adventure, and they're not Overland Adventure anymore, or whatever that one was called.
It's just the one. I have not seen anything that they're doing the Overland Adventure anymore. Yeah. Anyone is at all.
Yeah.
But the Ultimate is now unreal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just not magazine based. It's now their own thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty much looks like it's going to be the same thing. It's just not going to land on four wheeler.
Yeah. And it is fine. It is not covered as well.
Well,
it's covered.
It'll be covered in other places, for sure.
But it is not covered as well, like, as the quality of coverage is not as high as it was with the magazine.
But they did promise that
that's for obvious reasons.
Yeah, they promised the videos would be longer again, though, because they had all those, like, what was it, last year or the year before, they did all those weird short videos that were not...
Yeah, it was like 10-minute, quick hitter movies.
I would watch an hour per day if that was available.
Like, if they made it like more YouTube formatted, I'm sure it would still get the views for sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think that most of the like long form content from that was from people that were on the trip that have a YouTube.
Yeah. Well, Dave Chappelle finally fixed that front Jeep. You know, that orange Jeep that was always on the Ultimate Adventure stuff that had the two fronts. He bought that to do the Unreal Adventure, cut one of the fronts off, which is the back front, and put a truck bed on it. And it finally looks...
And that's what he took?
Yeah. And it looks so much better, turns out.
Imagine that.
Yeah, you can fix
building
a Jeep.
Building something stupid.
Nobody
looks
loves...
better when you build it like a normal person.
Nobody loves the front of a JK anyway, and to have two fronts...
Double up on it.
You're like...
I was mistaken on the SEMA thing. They will be at SEMA, obviously. Ooh. But the thing I was thinking about is 503 Motoring is doing an RWB build, like in the outer lot somewhere.
Oh,
and that is something you can get into. I don't know how they've negotiated this. It's very interesting to me. But they apparently you can just go see it if you're around. It's kind of interesting.
That's cool.
Yeah,
I feel like some of that's kind of lost its.
It has for sure. I think we don't have to go on that road. I've always been a little like lukewarm and into it. Like it's very hard for me to like really be fully in love with those cars, but I love the story and I love like the original cars so much that, you know, it's cool overall. Like if somebody builds one, good for them. Also, there is like the side of like, I imagine there's going to be a time where I'm, you know, when we're all in our 60s and people are trying to unfuck these things, basically. And that's going to be pretty funny because they're going to be like...
Good luck because they're cut.
Yeah, they're going to be finding 964 turbos and being like, I want to restore this to original. And it's going to take a lot. But anyways.
This isn't the one.
Dude, I saw a reel earlier today of one of the more recent RWB. Man, I don't know why I'm having trouble with that. RWB builds.
The tow hook?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
He siliconed a tow hook into the front bumper.
And
what?
For those of you that didn't know.
There's gotta be more context.
Is it bolted like through and then they siliconed around it?
Siliconed the top of it and then stuck it in this little pocket and pushed it into the top. Yeah. Just like
I think if you're gonna SEMA some shit to your car, you don't show people. Let them find it.
Well, here's the thing. He's building these cars with people watching. So it's not like...
He's got an audience for all of them now.
He's notoriously the guy that in the past has like refused to do cars that didn't have performance modifications or refused to do things without having full control over things.
Was the fact that these are track cars.
Yeah.
That is what he's building them for. That's why he's building them is because it is a track car. We have RWB track days in Japan and shit like that. Like, that's what he's building them for. And I think that now he's gotten to that point of, you're willing to pay me how much?
Okay.
Okay.
Sure.
I'll fuck up your 996 for that much. who wouldn't? It's the same concept as selling your fucking wheel company and making a bunch of money.
Yeah.
Like,
hard to blame him. The difference maybe is that his hands are still on the product, but but still, I don't. And again, maybe there's like, hey, this has got to be done. This is temporary, whatever. But like, that's
or maybe
bad. That was a moment of me looking at it going, God, I don't want to believe everything on the internet, but this looks terrible.
that was video evidence.
Ugh, that's too bad. That's rough. A weird thing. I could see, like, you know, I'm not gonna put all the time and effort into putting a tow hook on your car if you're not ever gonna track it. Of course, f you.
Yeah, sure, don't put it on.
Well, I don't know.
Just don't put it on.
Yeah, I agree. Somebody's gonna hook up to that someday, and it's gonna be hilarious. Mm-hmm.
Well, at least it won't break the bumper.
Yeah.
So
that's true. You know, it's kind of a low impact,
kind of a win-win
breakage.
Oh man. Well, do you have a anything? Any? Would you pay money for this or
no?
Why were you counting on that?
A little bit.
A little bit.
Just a little bit. You know what? It's become my favorite segment.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've done one.
Yeah, you've done one. It's actually kind of my favorite one to listen to as well. I was just I just went on a trip and I was listening to us, and I listened to the one where we talked about the Fuso box truck thing.
Yeah. That's the one I was at.
Blue.
Yeah. Yeah. And I should have remembered that. And I just thought it was funny.
I'm forgettable.
That was good.
It's blue and it's ugly.
Would you pay money for it?
It's blue and it's hideous.
Oh, we could do that camper that Colin sent into the group chat, the slide-in one.
Oh, I'd pay money for that.
You'd pay that money for that?
That's not a slide-in.
That's not the game.
That's a flatbed.
It's not the game. The game is not what is it worth.
Well, it's a flatbed, but it's a fully enclosed slide-in.
Right. That's not a slide-in. Slide-in implies that there is a bed that it slides into, not sets on top of.
See,
oh boy, we're into semantics.
Well, that's
here.
Fine. And I always took it as a slide-in was something that is not attached, like, permanently to the truck. So you slide it in, you slide it out.
There's still because you can still have
still the only way
you can have flatbed campers.
Yeah,
it's not considered a slide-in.
Yeah, I've always been this way too. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I understand that as just a camper, and a slide-in camper is a pickup bed camper.
That's just.
Well, so what about my flatbed that
had a slide-in camper on a flatbed?
On a flatbed.
Okay.
Basically, to me, if it's not finished sides.
If it's got the, yeah, so if it's T-shaped.
That is a slide-in.
Okay.
If it's not.
It's got to fit through between wheel wells.
Got it.
Slide-in.
This is why a GFC is a topper.
That's a topper.
Yes. Yeah, it's not a slide-in. I know that, so I would not have called that a slide-in.
Good, because it doesn't slide in.
Right. It sits on.
Put some jacks on it. It might slide in, though.
Right to the top.
So I don't think I would.
Okay, hold on. Before you answer the question, I'm just going to say this. We've had this group.
Well thought out.
We have a group message. We talk about this all the time. One of our guys sent us all a camper that he had recently found that was like in his neighborhood. And it's a like fiberglass overland style camper, like a OE, what is it, OEX, or what's that brand? That's the US brand. Overland, like an Earth Cruiser camper, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
A fiberglass shell camper with a pop top and, like, you know. And they just kind of seemingly appeared out of nowhere. I think he reverse image searched it or someone else did. Okay, you did.
He sent it and I just Googled it. Yeah. And I was like, you could have done
that. And we found that there's like an Australian manufacturer, and this is obviously like probably one of those. Anyways, it also just recently popped up for sale, or one like it. Hard to tell if it's the same one.
A unit like it showed up on Facebook Marketplace, but it is this guy that is his product that he is marketing because he's got a website and all that stuff. Yeah.
And it's 18 grand. And it's, you know, it's a, I don't know, it's not a slide in camper.
It's a
back under it and set it down.
I mean, it's, what do they call though? In Australia, they call those like a tradie canopy is what they call that, because it goes on a tray bed.
Right.
And the tradesmen can use it for work. But so this one is basically it looks just like that, but it has a integrated tent.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of is combining the truck topper with the utilitarianism of a Aussie canopy.
Right.
So before we get too far, I want to correct myself. OEV is the company I was thinking about.
OEV, yeah.
They make like these.
I knew
they're
what you
a little
meant,
bigger.
But I couldn't see. I couldn't.
And they're like $40,000, by the way.
Yeah.
Just saying. So.
Would I pay money for that, though?
Would you pay money for that?
I'd get another four-wheel camper.
Just price to price, if they were exact same, if it was 5,000 versus 5,000, you'd buy a four-wheel camper.
I'd buy another four-wheel camper. Yeah, like okay. I had. Because they make, for the 18 grand, you can get a flatbed.
No money.
That's what I'm saying. Well, for the money.
same.
Yeah.
They're the same price.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah, you can get a flatbed four-wheel camper for the same price.
Okay.
That's the money I would
spend. And you would prefer it?
Yeah.
Okay. Why?
It has an inside that's built out in any kind of freaking way.
Okay.
That's yeah. To me, I that's the thing. Is it seems
I'm just
too,
curious.
The yeah. thing about it seems that too thing barren. Was, yeah. is the inside of it is literally, it's a place to stand.
Yeah.
That isn't in the bed. That's basically it. Because exactly. everything is built for being accessible from the outside, except for the drawers that are under the bed directly. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
Yeah.
And so, like, that is handy in a sense. Like, I can see some advantages, but there are also the disadvantages. But but that's what the whole thing is. That's what all this is about, is
yeah.
figuring out where you want your trade-offs to be
mm-hmm.
when it comes to your camping comfortability or wheeling capability yeah. or what have you. So I like the idea.
I feel like it's probably lighter, obviously, than a four-wheel camper.
Yes.
But it's just, you're going to fill it up with all the stuff that you're going to build out in there anyway, in which case it wouldn't be much lighter, I would bet. Because
and it's not, the build-out for that thing is going to be a little bit different because it's going to be more overland than it is camper.
Right.
So, like, the stuff, the products you're going to be using are going to be smaller, potentially lighter, like things like that. It's going to be much more sparse because you don't have as much space in there.
But see, and then for me, I'd go GFC because it's proven and I know that it does that. Well, so that's just where, like, this doesn't, to me, this doesn't have a, like this a is in the middle. Yeah, but it's not mm-hmm. a sweet spot middle.
Can
it's
I, like a, so I didn't look at the inside of that very well. So can I just show you this picture of this one and you're going to see the price,
yeah.
but that's going to be part of my point. Is it like this?
No.
It's like less than that.
It's empty.
Okay.
It's shell.
Okay. That's good to know. So these,
that's more like four-wheel camper style.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That these to me makes sense.
Yeah. The OEV ones are very expensive. So yeah. that one is the base and it's like 41. The really fancy one is 70-ish before you start doing stuff to it.
Which is wild.
So this thing's a bargain. But yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with you. I think that the four-wheel camper is a good option. I think that the thing...
All right.
I think that I lost my train of thought.
You're welcome.
They're very expensive, four-wheel camper.
Oh, I think that I would choose something that's like a topper camper in a lot of scenarios because I would be very worried that something like this would rattle itself apart.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the fiberglass, like, full shell thing as opposed to like a framed corrugated side camper mm-hmm. to me is maybe like a step above a four-wheel camper in durability potentially with less repair option.
I agree except with the flatbed version because the like my camper had a wood base with a aluminum frame for the top. The flatbed one is full aluminum frame.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't have as much.
Yeah.
Also has more floor space because of that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
A ton more.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know which one I'd like. So I wouldn't make the comparison. I'm just saying I would buy that thing. I think it's cool.
See, I would do the topper because the GFC stuff is proven and it's the similar layout to me in my thoughts.
It's half the cost.
And lighter. Well, but would you pay money for it? Yeah. No, yeah. And also I agree, though. GFC is way cheaper. And I think you get almost exactly the same amount of amenities.
Well, yeah. The only difference is you're sealed and you're not sealed. You're in the truck bed instead of sealing off an area. That's the difference.
Right.
So there's no dust proofing with the exception of the tent part, which we've talked about and everybody knows. But the camper scenario, shut the door, all the side things, it's all sealed. That's like, and.
But then it unusefuls your bed. With the GFC, you throw lumber back there. You do other things with your bed. It's still a truck bed.
Yeah.
With a lot of those other ones.
Yeah, it's for you're no longer.
Yeah, but I mean, then
got the posts that you can like pull out from underneath it, and then you've got a flatbed. But there's one more step to going out and using it. That's the that again, the trade-off of how often do you use it?
Is
how
that
quickly
bit.
Do you want to be able to go and use it?
Yeah.
Comparatively to, yeah. So, I've got a, would you pay money for this?
Oh my gosh.
Oh, nice. All right.
So I'll share the screen. You'll have to share your screen with Mike there, Sean, since Mike didn't bring a screen.
I didn't. I had a phone and I threw it over there because it was vibrating on the table.
That's not the first time you've decided to throw a phone in the middle of what we're doing.
Here I am. Okay. Unapologetic.
Sure. All right. So.
Oh, man. I can't see these without. Go
here
ahead.
We are. It's fine. We've got an off-grid expedition truck.
This is Jesse's
price
dream, isn't
it? $118,500.
Seems like a lot.
Stewart and Stevenson from 1997. So this thing has a Cat 3116, an Allison 7-speed.
Ooh, an Allison.
Yep. He's owned it for 4 years and lived and traveled out of it for 3 of those.
Okay. All
so right. This is a full, the purpose of this is live in. This is not exactly a wheeler, not exactly a, you know, it's live in it.
Okay. All right.
1,980 watts of solar.
That seems like a lot.
It's a lot.
That'll run an air conditioner.
420 amp hours of battery, which is
also a lot.
4 times as much as what I have.
Yeah. Like,
air conditioned, 122 gallons of water.
What are you going to do with it? You putting out fires with this thing?
This is awesome.
He's living in it. I mean, you don't know when you're going to be able to fill it back up.
122 gallons later, I think you run out of a lot of other things.
You better have a shower in it because that's how you're
using
that water.
It has a water heater. Does have a water heater. Okay.
Okay.
No CDL required, you guys.
Thank God.
That's okay.
It's good to know.
Mm-hmm. 32,000 miles on the truck. Just put a new engine in. Mileage will continue.
That's broken in, just barely.
He is located in Chattanooga.
Military stamped rebuild? Yeah. I wouldn't trust anything that guys like me have rebuilt. Here's the thing, right?
When a military vehicle is decommissioned, doesn't it get the rebuilt tag when it gets resold to a normal person?
Right, which doesn't mean that it's rebuilt because they take all the good parts
off. Well, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't mean it's rebuilt. It's not like it's been wrecked and somebody had to... It's not like it went to the freaking auto shop and got rebuilt. It's just that...
I thought they were saying that the motor was military stamped
rebuilt. Title now.
That makes sense. So if they're talking about the title, I thought they were talking about that engine rebuild that they were saying in the same sentence.
It said and just I was put like, a new engine in, though.
Right. And I was like, I don't think if that new engine is military stamped, I would be worried about it. I would not trust guys like me.
I'm waiting for the first picture so I can say
or
no.
Here's the first picture.
Yep, I'm in.
So it's a cab.
Me too.
Obvious cab over, if you knew what a Stewart Stevenson was. And it's essentially got, you know, a trailer.
A small RV.
On the flatbed.
Which is genius.
So that's just the first.
Oh, we can just end the episode now. I'm in.
I'm in.
Okay.
Yep.
Well,
you can't.
There's his solar array.
Oh, my God.
That's so rad.
It's like a transformer.
So he's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 panels.
Why has he even got the awning? The solar will take care of it.
So a 9-panel solar unit up there. For all those. All the solar.
It's absorbing so much of the sun that you don't need the awning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It cools you off. It's got, air conditioner's unnecessary.
Oh my
too.
God. It's got a pirate, a in the pirate shower. Flag shower curtain. So that's sick.
Big Dometic.
Ooh, that's nice. That's a good way to do that.
It's quite the.
Actually, I'm kind of not a fan of the
built
fridge
out
scenario.
Inside. It's kind of a weird. Yeah, it's kind of like a.
I don't like that.
What am I looking for? Like a 1940s. House cabinetry build out.
Yeah.
Is kind of what this vibes
that was probably the
me.
Refrigerator before. And they did their own cabinets and
it's got wood on the ceiling.
It's got a floor on the ceiling.
Floor on the ceiling.
And when you roll it over, you don't have to worry about taking your shoes off. Yeah.
And
a little bit of art on the wall.
So the bed, I assume, is this table that you have to convert. So there
that's
is
a downside
right there.
Yeah.
I would prefer a dedicated bed while having a dedicated sitting space.
Yeah.
If it were me.
Yeah, I would too.
Because I don't see any other place to put a bed. So that's got to be what it is.
Surprisingly small in the living space for
what appears to be
a very big
rig. So it's truck and cab. So that's all that stuff. It's got 307s for the gears. $2.40.
Highway gears, it says.
Yeah, buddy. Top speed is 76. Highway speed.
All right.
Set the cruise at 70 and just keep trucking.
Yeah, buddy. Habitat. So 41 gallons of gray, 122 fresh, like I said. 4-gallon electric water heater. Then there's the amperages and whatnot. Charge controllers, yada, yada, yada.
Oh, it's inverter. A full-size bed. This is made for one person. I just realized that.
I think it probably is, yeah. Dometic, tooltop.
So this is for like a weekend with the guys. You camp in this while everybody camps in their rooftop tents and you laugh at them. Mm-hmm. And then you probably go wherever they're going too. You're just going to have to knock some trees down
along
the way.
Other than size regulation, yeah.
Slowly.
This is where you go to Utah. It's big and open and flat. You don't have to worry about trees.
Sure.
Yeah. Sand Hollow, you could get anywhere you want to go. See, I would have built out the inside a little different, but I would still pay money for it, and then I would figure out how to build out the inside a little different.
16 feet long, 6'3" internal height.
I don't think it needs as much kitchen as it has.
Yeah, so it's a 16-foot trailer, basically, is what it is.
Yeah, with a 16-foot trailer, you don't need a full kitchen.
Especially when you're, like you said, Sean, you're by yourself, technically, probably. You could have, that's not big enough, you could have gone ahead and like reduced your table slightly, just done like a one-sided or even a double-sided still like it is now with the table in the middle and made it smaller.
Yeah.
And kind of better use the space. To then have like a dedicated bed so that you're not
always
having
to dance in there while someone's cooking dinner. It's got this huge open space in the middle. Yeah. I
think you can modify that to have a pretty good sized bed like above that seating area and then do something different with the layout.
Yeah, do a bunk bed.
Like
that's what I was
trying
to think.
Storage under that and then make seating on the side where the like fridge and stuff is now. Something like that would be.
Because
like
that is raised quite a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, he definitely could have had that set lower and then put the bed in.
Yeah.
Above
there's
that
probably
area.
Water or a bin under there. It's
that's
based off
that's probably
like
what it is.
Are.
Yeah. But he's probably got his water tanks and batteries and all that underneath there. So,
yeah,
that,
you go bunk bed style and you give yourself a queen size at least somewhere and you'd be fine.
So, all this,
it just got a lot of, it's got a lot of kitchen.
Yeah, it does.
It's chef's kitchen.
Hey,
really.
It really we is. All know you when you entertain, everybody hangs out in the kitchen anyways.
You know, you're right.
People don't sleep there usually, but
in this case, though, you could put a tent out. Yeah.
On this countertop, I mean, that's a single at least right there you could lay on. So you got to cover the sink and
roll your flat top out and you're good.
Good to go. Yeah, I mean, I would pay money for this.
I would.
I'd probably come at him with an offer, you know, but.
Well, it doesn't say motivated seller like some of the previous ones we've talked
about.
Good.
We're still living in it. Yeah.
What was it? Appraised at $118,000.
They just
professionally appraised.
They're able to get insurance at that.
Yeah, he says you can take the appraisal to a bank to get a loan if needed. Actually, you could probably get a loan as an RV pretty easy on this. Not advised, but you get like a 30-year term on something like that. So,
which is a house.
And on that bombshell,
you could live in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd pay money for that. It's so.
Oh, Colin, what about you?
No,
just not at all.
No.
Not for you.
No,
it's cool
layout, or just you don't really love that type of truck. I feel like though too.
I think a lot of it is I know how miserable it would be to actually travel in it.
Yeah.
Because I know how miserable, like military vehicles are. They're not. They're not comfort. They're not comfort vehicles. So
absolutely.
Long, like, you know.
A 6-hour
doing quick little pops here and there and camping out of it, sure. But if you're gonna have to put in an 8-10 hour day, it's gonna be a fucking shitty day.
Yep. Yeah, you don't want to drive that thing to South America.
No.
Yeah.
I have done that.
I mean
those long days and those kind of rigs, and
it's not
good.
Yeah, it's not.
Do you think it's better if people are not trying to blow you up the whole time though?
Nominally, that gives you something to do.
Not
you know
noise
what I mean?
Wise.
You don't have to.
Not noise wise. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. At least it keeps it exciting.
Yeah.
You don't feel sleepy.
That's true.
I
mean, I assuming it's true.
Very hot, either way.
either way.
Yeah. So with the engine right there, yeah. Yeah, that's like the dude out in Sisters that we talked about with that Unimog on 54s. I saw a video just today. No engine cover. Engine's just right next to him. Whew, it's going to be miserable. But
if you're snow wheeling, it's great.
My prediction was correct. He is using it for tours, for 4x4 tours, and he says recovery too. But yeah, so it's got.
We should definitely go do a tour with this
guy.
We should do a podcast
in
tour.
In the bed of it. He just went and weighed it so that he could get it registered.
13,000 pounds.
Because of the size of it, sure. Registration depends on. What are our guesses?
13,000 pounds.
I think right at 10. That's my guess.
My red truck with camper was 10,000. Okay.
Yeah. I'm just thinking of the size of a Unimog overall, but plus the big tires.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Plus the old style stuff. I think it's going to be lighter than we expect. So I'm going to say 10.
Okay. So what he was hoping for was to be under 10, because then that would mean that he could register it without CDL.
Yeah.
And just barely made it.
Really?
Yeah.
Like 99.
They pulled on to the weigh station out there in Sisters, right outside of town. And him and his wife are in it. 10 on the money.
Oh, man.
And he's like, get out. Tells his wife to get out. She gets out. Sure enough, drops like 150 because, it's rounding up to 50, obviously. So, like, without the two of them in it, it's, 97, 98.
All right.
So.
Okay. And then it's probably got an empty fuel tank. He probably took a couple quarts of oil out of it.
I don't know.
So Unimogs are not that big.
Yeah.
That's the thing that always gets me. I always am surprised. Well,
think about how close the tires are to each other.
Yeah.
And they're 52s. So that's.
Yeah. That's
so
where I thought most of the weight was going to be.
50 inches right there. If you go from axle to center axle to center axle, there's 50 inches. And then there's like. A foot between the two tires.
It looks like a monster truck.
Yep. Yeah. We should get him on.
That's what I'm just saying. And then also we should take a tour with him.